Okay, let's go to 2 Timothy. We're going to start at chapter 1, verse 6. That's where we're going to start tonight. Chapter 1, verse 6, 2 Timothy. I was reading all this last night and studying it and read it a little more this afternoon on the way down here, everything, and it's just the Lord trying to show me something here. I want to get it. It's amazing what all He's put in here. Verse 6, chapter 1, 2 Timothy. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. And when you find somebody that's anointed of God, you need to let that person, and you need to make sure they're anointed of God to lay hands on you. You don't want just anybody to lay hands on you. You want to make sure you know who the person is that's laying hands on you, and then you want to make sure that that person is walking in some kind of a gift or many of the gifts, and you want them, like Paul, to lay hands on you and anoint you with that gift. And then you're going to have to stir up that gift. How are you going to stir up that gift? You're going to get in the Word. You're going to read the Word. You're going to act on the Word. You're going to see these things in the Word. And you're going to stir up that gift. For, he says in verse 7, because I think he put this next verse here, because so many people today, they're Christians, but they live in such fear. I mean, I see people all the time living in fear. They're afraid of everything. But look at what the Lord says here. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. So that means there is a spirit of fear. So if you have fear, you have a spirit messing with you. You know, now God's not going to give that thing to you as His children. He doesn't want you to have it. So if you're allowing the spirit of fear to come upon you and take control of your life, all I can say is shame on you. Shame on you. You know, and I'll make another statement right here at this point. You know why that spirit of fear is taking control over you. Because the spirit of love drive out the spirit of fear. See? So if you're not walking in the God kind of love, then the spirit of fear is going to be there to torment you. So you need to learn how to get into that love walk with God. So when God's love walk becomes powerful in your life, the spirit of fear will be displaced and it'll go away. And you can walk anywhere you want to at night, or anything, and you'll know that your angels are with you. You'll know that the Lord is with you. You know your Holy Spirit's with you, and there will be no fear. Now then, I don't know if we've got this here or not, but Rosemary, you might be able to tell me. We made a bunch of copies of the CD about Margie Mayfield. We have some of those. I had Kathy call the other day, and Dr. Dodson, they sent us a CD of this, and of course we can copy it and give them away. They just don't want people to copy them and sell them, so I don't sell any. Plus, I sent them $1,000 donation, so I feel like I can give them a few away anyway. So I sent them several $1,000 donations this year. That's when I told Kathy the other day. I said, tell them to send me a CD. She said, what are they going to tell me? How much it costs? I said, just tell them it's the Living Savior Ministers and you want it for free. And so she said, well, okay. So she said, I called them and they said, well, we sell them. She said, well, my pastor said, you give them to us. He said, what ministry? She said, the Living Savior. He said, just a minute. He'd come back and said, yeah, how many do you want? No problem. We'll send it right to you. They looked up my Guinness record right quick, and they found out I never want anything. I just send them money on a regular basis. That's one of the places I donate, because I firmly believe they're doing a great work for the kingdom of God. Amen. So that's why I support them. But anyway, If you don't have a copy of this, see, Rosemary, I guess it got some here in her hand. If you have not listened to this, you can find out what a woman can do that has stepped into this perfect love that casts out all fear. How many of you have heard the CD? Okay, we've got a few that have, some many have not. This woman, how would you like to be a woman and the number one murderer and rapist in America for years, put a gun in your back in a parking lot and say, get over, get in the car and get over and put your hands under your thighs and don't say a word or I'm going to kill you? How would you like to be confronted with that? No way. But this little girl, she had memorized the entire book of Ephesians. All six chapters had committed them to memory. And so, yeah, give them one. Yeah, they want one down here too. Yeah. And when she slid across, this is what she heard, something like this. Whenever she got in the vehicle and slid across, and he got in with a gun in his hand, she reached up and put her hand on his shoulder and said something like this. You're not in control here. I am, in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And the guy looked over at her and says, you're not a normal woman. Let me tell you, she was not a normal woman. But she had no fear. And that's what allowed her to overcome this demon that was in Stephen. And she completely subdued him that day. He took the bullets out of the gun, gave them to her, accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and turned himself in. All because of this little gal. I knew who she was. So if you haven't heard this testimony, what you can do with a person that's a child of God, a daughter of the King, that not only was she just confronted with just anybody, she was confronted with the number one murderer and rapist, and he had just murdered and brutally raped a woman the night before, and here she is now at gunpoint, and he's going to take her out next. And he tells her what to do, and she says, I'm a daughter of the King. I know I'm in charge here, not you. Perfect love cast out all fear. Now, all of you ladies think, are you in that place? Are you there? How would you like to be confronted with that situation? You don't even want to go there, do you? But see, you never know when the enemy's going to attack you. That's why you need to be prepared with the Word of God. Because I'm going to tell you that many, many young women that he had murdered and raped over all those years, I can assure you several of those women, and I don't even know who they are, but I can assure you many of them probably were Christian women. But they didn't know who they were. They immediately went to fear. And when you go to fear, does faith work in fear? Nope. We found that out with Peter walking on the water, didn't we? Jesus was given a loaded question. Peter said, Lord, if that's really you, let me come to you on the water. He couldn't say nothing but, well, come on, it's me. Come on. So Peter steps out of the boat by faith and walks on the water. And he walks on the water. Of course, I can just see the enemy showing up now. I can see Satan out there hollering at his demons, stir up the wind and the waves. We've got to do something here. If we don't do something, we're going to have the other dozen Baptists walking on the water in a few minutes. We're going to be in big trouble. You get a dozen Baptists walking on the water at the same time, or just a dozen Christians walking on the water at the same time, the devil's in big trouble. You know that? He don't want you to walk in faith. He don't want you to walk in this place of perfect love, because the perfect love casts him out totally, completely. Well, let me tell you, Miss Margie Nayfield, that little lady, as you listen to the CD, you'll find out how she walked in a place of perfect love all day long. Not one time did she let fear overtake her. A couple of times it started to, but whenever she'd drive up, he said, let me look at the newspaper. I want you to get a newspaper, read it. He wanted to see what he had done the day before. She said, no, I don't want to see it. Now see, because if she had opened this newspaper And she looked at this thing and it said, Stephen, here's his picture, murdered and brutally raped a young woman last night. And that devil would have said, and you're going to be next. And she would have went to fear. That's why the Lord tells us to not contaminate our hearts with the evil of this world. But how hard is that? It's very difficult. But the Lord did not give us a spirit of fear. It comes from the enemy. He'll give it to you. He'll give it to you anytime he has a chance. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but look what he has given us. We just don't believe him. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now then, you know, I hear this all the time. I mean, it's amazing, you know, what I hear, especially when I'm around the world, which I've been around the world a lot this last week and a half. I mean, out there in that hangar with all them guys, I've been out there in the world. You know, they come by and say, good grief, how's an old man like you do those kind of things? I can't believe you've done this so fast. Aren't you sore? No, I'm not sore. How can you do these kind of things? One old guy come by today. He said, how's it going? Dave's laying up on the wing with his arm stuck up in there. I'm laying on the other side, my arm stuck down in there about this far. We're trying to put a clamp on. The guy said, how's it going? I said, it's going great. He said, well, I thought y'all must be doing okay. I don't hear any loud cussing over here. I said, we don't cuss. We praise the Lord over here. That's why it's going so good. Boy, he didn't say nothing else, I'll tell you for sure. That's certainly what he didn't expect to hear. But if you're around me and Dave, you ain't going to hear nothing but praise Jesus. That's all we're going to talk about. Because we know what changes the world, and we know that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. We know that nothing is hard for us because we're sons of God. You know, we can do anything. All you got to do is know that the King is your King. And you got to know that He gives you the Spirit. Look what He said. He didn't give you the spirit of fear, but a power. Whose power is that? That's His power. He's in you. I don't care if you're male or female. That power is in you. And if you don't think that power is not in there, you listen to that CD about Margie, and you find out how that little frail woman overcame the number one murderer and rapist. And, of course, one of the things in there, as she told Stephen about Jesus and how much he loved him. You know, and she's talking to him all day. And he even wanted some money one time. And she said, well, if you'll go by my bank, I'll give a check, get some money, and give it to you. You know? So when she goes by the bank, she said, how much money do you want? He said, well, how much do you want to give me? You know? So you talk about a little lady that's walking along. She's with this guy all day long. She goes, they buy something for dinner, you know. She's riding around with this murderer with a gun there and talking to him about Jesus. You know, and finally she said, she lays her hands on his shoulder and said, Stephen, Jesus loves you. He wants to save you. You know, and this is how easy it is. All you got to do is confess with your mouth and believe with your heart, and Jesus will save you, and He'll deliver you from all this anger and hatred and everything that you've got in your heart. He'll set you free. And they're driving down the road after several hours of all this, and all of a sudden, he pulls off to the side of the road, stops the car, opens the gun up, pours the bullets out, hands them to her, hands her gun, throws his hands up, said, God, I surrender. And she said, what happened? He said, I heard an audible voice say, Stephen, this is your last chance. You either accept me now or it's over. That's a bad place to get to, the last chance, right? But he heard God speak after what God had sent his little daughter. Now, who was the power that was with her? God was in that car with her and with him. You and me got to forget, never forget, that as sons and daughters of God, when we go into that realm of fear, we totally kick God out of our life. But when we stay in that love walk, He's there. Just like He was her in that car with that number one murderer and rapist, He was there. And He overcome that spirit of hatred and anger and rage and saved that boy's life. I mean, you've got to listen to that CD. If you haven't heard that, it's an awesome testimony that little gal's got. Man, I'm telling you, it's fantastic. But God has, therefore, he says, he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. So all these are spirits. You got to think about this. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit of power. Everything in the spirit world, everything that drives you is a spirit, either from hell or from heaven. Everything that controls us is spirits. If the Lord were to open our spiritual eyes and we could physically see the spirit world, most of us would die of a heart attack in a few seconds. Because there's probably some wicked demons in this room right here that you and I brought with us. Some of them are probably riding on our head, on our shoulders, on our back, or standing beside us, whatever, waiting to get through to us. You know that? Yeah, they're here. But we also have angels. You know, these big, beautiful angels that you can send upstairs to your friend and to get him to turn his music down. Yeah, it's amazing what you can get angels to do. I've had them do things like that for me. I mean, I've had them help me do lots of things. You know, they're wonderful to know that you've got an angel that'll help you. But that's part of this power that goes with your salvation package. Do you not know that God gave his angels charge over you to watch over you? It is written. You know, so should we ever be in fear about anything? No, we don't have to be afraid of nothing. Because God's given us a spirit of power and the spirit of love and the spirit of a sound mind. All that's come from God. That's what he's given you. How do you get that? If he's given it, how come we don't live there? We don't claim it. We don't go around saying, I'm a child of God. You know, we hear this kind of stuff. Well, I'm 60 years old, and I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to work. I'm getting so old, I'll probably come down with Alzheimer. My mother died with Alzheimer. I hear that kind of nonsense all the time. I hear people talking like that. And then they wonder why they come down with it. You know, if you confess the word. Now, of course, this is one of the major secrets I learned years ago. It says faith comes, in Romans 10:17, it says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. As I meditated on that one night, I thought, it doesn't say faith comes by reading the Bible. It says faith comes by hearing. Okay, now I didn't understand the things that Ty knows about the body. But since I've met him, he's made a lot of things click for me, because now I already understood if I confessed it, it increased my ability to retain it. I just didn't know that when I spoke it, my ears heard it. It went back into a little thing he talks about. I don't even remember what it is, that it produces all kinds of stuff in my body and makes all kinds of things happen in my body because of what we hear goes into certain parts of your brain, and your brain, if you tell it something, it'll do it. Yeah. In other words, if you think, well, I think I'll go to town, or I think maybe the Bible says I can do wonderful things, but you're reading all this silently. Well, your brain, it has a thought, but it don't act on thoughts. Your brain doesn't. Your brain acts on words. If you go back into the beginning, God didn't think and the world came into existence. God said, and the world came into existence. And God said, and it happened. All through the scriptures you read, and God said. That's why I don't ever remember, and they may be in there, but I probably missed it. I don't ever remember anywhere in the scriptures where anybody ever prayed silently. They prayed out loud. Now, I do talk to God silently myself sometimes, especially when I'm laying in bed and my wife's laying beside me trying to sleep. I do talk to him silently, and I know he hears me. I know he hears me. Because I have asked him things in my spirit, and he's spoken back to me in the spirit, and I've got a direct communication going on. I know he was hearing me. So, But if you really want to see great results in your body, if you're having trouble with your body, speak to your body. I don't care what. In other words, just like Cheryl had an elbow problem this morning when she got in bed. She said, honey, would you please pray over my elbow? I've been lifting so many boxes and everything. I said, sure. I prayed over her elbow. And a little bit later, I was up getting ready to go to work. Once she got up for a few minutes, and she said, pray over my elbow again. I said, okay, I'm going to pray over your elbow one more time. But then from this minute on, you got to remember to confess, I don't care what my symptoms are. I don't care that my elbow appears to hurt. My elbow is healed because God made me a promise. And now you got to speak to your body. The greatest proof of that we've had just happened recently with Vernon Cannon. Vernon from Hobbs, New Mexico, came here and he asked me, do you think God can heal dyslexia? I've been dyslexic for 77 years, all of my life. I said, I don't think God can. I know God can. I prayed for him, rebuked that devil. I said, he said, what do I have to do? I said, I want you to start saying from this minute forward, I can read perfect in the name of Jesus. And then, thank you, Lord, I can read perfect. We got some chairs on up here. Jesse, you can come up here. You don't have to get one of those. Yeah, just come on around here. Good grief. That's what happened when you get here late. Just sit on the front row. See? Praise the Lord. Here he is trying to be quiet, and I'll make a whole spectacle out of the whole deal of him coming in. Jesse loves Jesus. I know that, so no problem. But anyway, I told him to start saying, you know, hey, I can read perfect in the name of Jesus. So he started saying it as they walked out. His wife said, oh, you can read. He said, no, not yet, really. He said, I can't really read yet. But Thurman told me to start saying I can. Well, why do you think I told him to say that? Because Jesus said in Mark 11:23, whatever you say with your mouth, when you believe it with your heart, you'll have it. That's a promise from God. So he started saying, I can read perfect. So, of course, what his wife asked him, he said, well, not yet, but Thurman told me to do this, so I'm going to do it. So he started doing it for 2.5 months, every day. He's saying, thank you, Lord, that I can read perfect in the name of Jesus. Well, his wife kind of gets accustomed to that after a few days, you know, so it kind of just, you know, like water off a duck's back, you know, nothing. So 2.5 months later, he said, I'm standing there in church on Sunday morning looking up, and all of a sudden, I'm saying, Lord, thank you, I can read them words on that screen perfect in the name of Jesus. And he said, all of a sudden, those words were perfectly clear for the first time in 77 years. He said, I could read. He said, I read the words on the screen. I sang with them. He said, then we went to lunch. I read the menu. And I said, Lord, thank you, I can read this menu. Well, it didn't excite his wife. You know, he's been saying this for 2.5 months. But now he really can read. When he gets home, he said, honey, I really can read. She said, what? You can really read? She goes over and gets the Bible and says, read this line right here. And when he read that line, his wife of 52 years, she lost it. I mean, he said she almost did cartwheels. She's jumping. 77 years her husband had not been able to read. Vernon Cannon from Hobbs, New Mexico, they got in their car on Tuesday morning early and drove from Hobbs, New Mexico to Dallas, Texas to give us their testimony on Tuesday night. And many of you were here and heard them give that testimony. Awesome. Now, why do you think I say with your mouth what you want instead of what your problem is? Why do you say, oh, my arm hurts? Oh, my neck hurts? No, you don't never do that. You don't never, yeah, it may hurt, but don't say it out loud. Think it if you have to, but don't say it. Say the word says, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. The word says, Jesus bore my sickness and removed my disease. Now, if you keep telling your body what the word says, he says in his word, I sent forth my word and healed you. Did he not? So if Jesus sent his word and healed you, you're either going to believe it or you're not going to believe it. So when somebody says, but Jesus doesn't heal all people all the time, you take them to just one simple place, Psalms 103 under the old covenant, and say, he forgives all of your iniquities. Do you believe that? Well, of course. What does the next line say? He heals all of your diseases. So, if you can believe that, then you can believe God, and you can start saying, Lord, first of all, I'm sick because I got some kind of sin in my life, and it may just be unbelief. Who knows what it is?
Well, Lord, I got to repent for all my sins. I want to repent of everything. Lord, if I got any kind of unforgiveness or bitterness or whatever, I mean, before anybody, any kind of strife or anything, we're going to find here in 2 Timothy, just a little bit further down the line here, who the devil is and what he does to you when you have those kind of things in your life. It's in here. Most people don't have a clue, but it's in there, what he does. And Paul tells us here in 2 Timothy. But right here, you speak to your body and you tell it what you want, because God has given you He has given you the spirit of power, and He's given you the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind. So you've got to tell yourself, I am a daughter of the King. I am a son of the King of the universe. Now, Lord, I've got my act straightened up. I have all my sins repented of. I'm walking in the God kind of love. Now, see, God knows whether you're telling the truth or you're lying. You can't deceive the King. He knows, and that's why some people can't get healed. You know, I mean, I've heard of people before that would say, Lord, I believe what you're saying. I believe your word. And the King would say, no, you don't. You don't believe me. You think you do, but you don't. And when you think you believe Him, it don't work, does it? You got to know you know it, right? You had an experience similar to that, didn't you? Yeah, I believe you were one of the ones that told me one of those stories. When you said, God, I believe the word. You know, why am I not healed? He said, no, you don't believe me. You know, and so, he said, you have what? You have heart trouble, huh? You have heart trouble. You need to get over the heart trouble, right? Wait just a second, let me get you a mic. Praise God. Yeah, here, if you want to tell some of your testimony right now, it'd be a great time to tell it. Come up here, young lady. Ooh, this lady just got healed of cancer.
I said, I always put my foot in my mouth. Amen. I didn't mean to
say that. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
You have to have an experience like this to understand this man right here. I call him the whiplash preacher. And, you know, he'll say something and it doesn't hit you until you're about 2 miles down the road. What? And it was confounding me. And I'm going to tell on myself, because I thought I just wanted to heal it. You know, just get it over with so I can keep on going, you know what I mean? But that's not what God wanted.
Amen.
He wanted more than that. Because it wasn't just the sickness and the tumor and the pain and the infection and, you know, all the stuff that was working on my body. But what I wanted was the symptoms to go away. But what God wanted was to heal my heart. Because my heart wasn't right. My heart was angry. I was bitter. I felt rejected. I had anger. And this man right here in Ty, you'd come up to pray and they'd say, yes, but it's sin somewhere. And I go off in a huff. What they mean, sin? I'll just tell you that something. Because I had the sins. We got the sins lined up, right? It's fornication, adultery, lying, stealing, smoking. You know what? I didn't do none of them things, right? So it was like every time I come for prayer, he's like, it's sin somewhere. you got some sin somewhere. Y'all excuse my mouth. My tooth fell out.
Uh-oh.
While I was going through this surgery and all these things that God has healed me from. But I would go home and the conviction would be, I ain't got time to deal with all of that. I'm dealing with all of this. But my healing wouldn't come until I could repent. And it was self-righteousness. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Well, why is God putting this on me? And then I would hear that and would say, well, it wasn't blaming me. And that's what I had to get right in my heart. And when I got that right, got my heart trouble fixed, then God fixed the rest of my body.
Amen.
But see, my heart wasn't right. And it showed me, and I told Ty Sunday, I said, I'm going to tell both of you in front of everybody that I appreciate the stand and your conviction and your perseverance to teach this word like it actually is, because it made the difference in me dying and living.
Amen.
But I had to come to that, to the truth.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
The reason why we don't is because we don't face the truth. They won't let me get away with that. I ain't done nothing to nobody. What they telling me that I'm sinning? I ain't sinning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I had so much doubt. I had so much unbelief. I couldn't walk out of here some Sundays. You know, I'm just trembling, shaking, and you know, going, but don't look like I got it this Sunday. And so God had to deal with my heart, because I had built up this wall of I looked it up. It's called emulation. Well, God, you heal everybody else. Well, she said that she got, and Cheryl would call. I should call them 5-6 times a week, a day. And when I was going through the worst time that I had with that foot, I would step down on my foot and stuff would just gush out, you know.
Oh, I remember.
You remember? I come up.
I never looked awful.
And I was telling one day I was ready to just go, bing! I wanted to hit him in the back. But that was the truth, man. Did I tell you that? I mean, I couldn't get healed because I was so mad. And it's nice that God dealt with me.
He's a healer, so he don't
right.
do it like that.
But see, I was making him my sugar daddy.
Yeah, there you
go. Oh, yeah, Lord, I love you. I just all over my healing. You know, my healer just going to go and do it. God wanted a relationship.
Amen.
He wanted me to really know him. And I hadn't known it. See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But you all stood and you didn't say a whole lot of words. But he kept saying sin. So when I got rid of doubt and unbelief, and it's just like you say, you're going to have doubt and unbelief until that word hits your spirit. And I didn't know that. Y'all had to go look up meditate, because I didn't know what meditate was. I said, every time I go to that church, they come up with something else, something new. I mean, I came from ground zero, actually. From ground zero.
Darryl
say you get up in the mornings and you start thanking God. That was so foreign to me. It was like, well, I thank you for my food and stuff. But see, that's not what God wanted. He really wanted me to walk out just like I told you. He kicked the training wheels out from under me the day when they told me I was probably going to lose my whole bottom lip. And Ty said, you got some sin somewhere.
You want to hit him, huh?
But that was the truth.
Yeah, sure.
And I told him. That's why I told him. I said, y'all don't know. When people come up and pray, y'all don't know what all kind of stuff they be going through and what's going on in their mind. But see, God, I had to wipe that slate clean. I had to get my heart right first. See, because there wasn't a love in there. I didn't even have any love in there for God. Because I was mad at him. And he knew it. And so, that's right.
Oh, yeah, you do it. Yeah.
And I don't care how much prayer people give, put on you. You know, I walked in that canopy up here and felt high. And, oh, glory to God, the praise songs were all good. And when I got home 2 o'clock in the morning, didn't have nothing to stand on. Because I didn't have any word in here. I didn't have any word. And that's the most important thing you can do, is to get those scriptures, memorize them, meditate on them until they become a part of you. They have to be in here. And I apologize to you and to Ty anything that I said or done.
Praise the Lord.
Between life and death.
Amen.
So it's the truth that really it was the truth and the word that really healed me.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
Amen.
So he taught me that I couldn't look at the arm of the flesh.
That's right.
That I had to find that word. And that rhema word that he gave me, he said, when my heart is Psalms 50, I believe, 50:16, he said, praise glorifies me. And when you, talking about Sandra Dunn, when you set your conversation aright. See, my conversation wasn't right. It wasn't right. It wasn't right to God, and it wasn't right here. And then it wasn't no way I could believe. Because my conversation wasn't right. So get your conversation right. And that's speaking that word out of your mouth. Because
yeah.
He said, when you get your conversation right. See, I wasn't even talking to God right. You understand what I'm talking about?
Oh, yes.
And nobody else. Because you can't do it when your heart is compounded and mine was. So now I'm free. And whether or not I had cancer or not, it doesn't make any difference. My heart is right.
Yeah. And you don't have cancer either. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, there's another thing she left out. A real important scripture. And she stood, you know, I always loved when people get healed. I always want to know, what scripture were you standing on? And she stood on Ezekiel 16:6. God spoke to her blood and said, live. God spoke to your blood and said, live. Daddy says in his word, there can be no forgiveness without first the shedding of blood. So when you ask God to cover you with his son, Jesus Christ's blood, then you wait. You wait for his anointing, because it's his anointing that breaks the yoke. And so that's what Sandra was doing. And once Jesus allowed her to eat of his flesh, to consume his word, and to drink his blood, then God spoke to her blood and said, live. 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 Then, just like in the leper day, back in Leviticus 17, first the blood, then the anointing. First the blood, then the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that breaks the yoke. And so when you stand on Daddy's word and ask him to cover you with your blood, to cover the lost ones, people that you're praying for, ask him to cover them with your son's blood, with Jesus' blood. Because then they only hear the Lord. And they don't hear the devil.
Amen.
They don't hear those spirits, those voices speaking to them. So the secret is being covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then waiting for the anointing to break that yoke.
Amen.
First the blood, then the anointing. First the blood, then the anointing.
Right.
So God says, I speak to your blood, live. And that's what happened to Sandra. We got some awesome pictures of this woman. Awesome pictures. I mean, she was in terminal stage cancer. I'm in the end. And I've got these pictures, and we're in the process of getting the doctor's records to have this all documented. For any of those that need more than just her word, you can see the medical records also. So I just want to encourage all of you, no matter what it is that your problems are, whatever you're praying for, remember Sandra. I mean, here she was by herself. She didn't have a husband. She was by herself. It was her and the Lord. I mean, she was down to just her and the Lord. And when you see the death sentence pronounced by the Lord upon a person, and we see in Deuteronomy 28 that there are times, two times he says, there are certain sins which lead to the death penalty. Daddy has the ability to revoke the death sentence. Just like he did with Hezekiah, just like he did with Sandra Dunn. And so, you know, there's a reason. There's a reason Sandra's here right now. God told me this when I was praying with her Sunday. God's going to use her. He's going to use her as a witness to these other cancer victims. She's a nurse, and so she comes across in this. And now her desire is to start ministering to these cancer patients. And God's going to use her. That's why he revoked the death penalty. She said, Daddy, I want to use the rest of my life serving you. Daddy, I want to tell other people about you and how much I love you and what you did for me, how you set me free. And I just, I just speak it upon you right now because the Holy Spirit told me this. And I just want to praise you, Daddy. And I want to thank you, Daddy. Just like when we started this out tonight. Daddy takes you, no matter how you are, where you are in your life. All He wants is for you to choose Him and then give Him your sins and then your love. And as you pour your love out upon Daddy, He'll pour it right back upon you, filling you with His love, with His life. And you, Lord, is life, and the life is the light of man. And Sandra Dunn has been lifed. She's been lifed. So we just praise you, Daddy, and thank you, Lord, for letting this light shine from this beautiful woman.
In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the King. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Yeah, the many times we prayed for Sandra when she would have her big old shoes on and her feet were oozing and looking so awful. You know, I mean, she looked awful. And the big old growth on her lip, you know, salt, big old cancer thing was bleeding all the time. And it looked terrible, you know. But like she said, we'd keep telling her, you know, that, you know, you got a sin somewhere you need to repent of. And like she said, she didn't want to hear that. What I think? Yeah, she had a diabetic problem. Yeah, her foot was bad. You know, I mean, she had all kinds of things. But now she's healed of everything.
Hallelujah.
I mean, she can walk. Ain't nobody no happier than Sandra. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Oh, but when she finally committed her life to Jesus. Now, see, that's what makes it all work. Just like I'd say, you know, I'd tell her, I'd say, get up in the morning praising the Lord. You know, that was foreign to her. You know, what do you mean get up in the morning praising the Lord? Well, if the Word of God's in your heart, you can't wake up and not say, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you and praise you for this beautiful day. See, you're to put Him first in everything. Everything. You know, that's the way you do it. When the Word and you become one. I don't care whether you wake up in the middle of the night. Whatever, the first thing should be on your heart is thank you, Jesus. You know, you worship and praise. It shouldn't be something else. You know, it should be thank you, Jesus. And if you thank the Lord and worship Him, He'll tell you things about the day and tomorrow and where you're going to go and the things you did or the things you didn't do. You know, I've had Him do that to me so many times. You know, I mean, some of y'all know, just like the other day I told y'all, Ty brought his airplane over for me to change oil the other day. And we had three or four or five of us running around there, his son, grandson and everything, and Dave and me, and we were doing a whole bunch of stuff and cutting up and everything, and I screwed it, drained the oil and put the new oil filter on it and screwed it up tight, and somebody said something and I went off and did something else, and then I come back in a minute and safety wired the thing on there, forgot to tighten it with a wrench. I woke up in the middle of the night. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, you forgot to tighten Ty's oil filter. I thought, oh, my goodness. I called him. He said, Thurman, I'm already out flying this morning. It's okay. I said, no, Ty. You have somebody check it. He said, it ain't leaking. It's okay. I said, no, you have it checked. And so he did get a guy to check it. Sure enough, it wasn't tight. It was tight enough to not leak, but it wasn't tight. So see, when you're led by the Spirit, no fear. He's in control. He didn't want Ty to get hurt. He knew I spun it on her tight enough. It'd hold for a while. But he woke me up the next morning and told me I forgot to tighten that oil filter. And sure enough. Now see, if you're walking in God's Word and you're worshiping and praising Him, the King will talk to you. Now, I don't know about you, but if I got somebody working on my airplane, I want them to be in touch with the King. I don't want them in touch with the world. I don't want them out drinking or drugging on Friday night and come back on Monday to work on my airplane. You know, because there's too many people get killed like that. They're not in touch with God. You know, but I want to be in touch with Him. And so anyway, just like the Lord says here, He has given us all these mighty things. He's given us the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind. So that's where we should live as children of God. We ought to be in touch with the King. Then
I want to read one more verse in chapter 1. I want you to meditate on this a few minutes. I'm going to tell you, I think this is far more powerful than we even think. But I'm going to read one more verse, then we're going to go to chapter 2. But the verse I'm going to go to is verse 10. 2 Timothy 1:10. Now, I want you to think about what he says there. In the King James, this is what it says. But is now made manifest, right now, by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, when did he appear? 2,000 years ago. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has already abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I think that's a little more powerful than the average human being can even grasp. You've got to think like God to even go there. You cannot think like a human being and ever grasp the magnificence of that verse. Think about what that verse says. Now is already made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has already abolished death. He's already abolished it. And has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Well, now what happens if you read the gospel? What if you learn all of the gospel? What if the gospel becomes real to you? He says here he's already abolished death. Is he trying to say you don't have to die? Is he trying to say there, if he's abolished death and he's already brought life and immortality to light through the gospel? What are you going to do with that? That's a pretty good one, isn't it? That'll put you to thinking. Now then, that really will put you to thinking. And then let's go to a couple of places. Let's go, I didn't plan to go here, but I'm going to go here anyway. I'm going to go to John 8. Go over to the book of John chapter 8. John was one of the most loving apostles of all the apostles. John 8. I want to read a couple of verses. Let's just read verse 49, 50, 51. Jesus said in John 8:49, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory, but there is one that seeketh and judges. For truly, truly, or verily, verily, I, Jesus, say unto you, if a man keeps my sayings, he shall never see death. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Then I want you to turn over to 11. Verse 25 and 26, chapter 11. I want you to look and see what he says. This depends on where, how far you can take this by faith. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? That's a mouthful, isn't it? That'll give you something. If you think teaching people how to get healed is a very good job, you ought to think about what it would be like to teach you to walk right there. But it'll give you something to think about. So when you
see this in Timothy, you'll have to realize that, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I believe with all my heart that if we will walk in total obedience to God's Word, we can live a long, healthy life without any sickness and disease. I believe that we in our lives step out of a love walk somewhere, and every time we step out of that love walk, it allows evil spirits to enter our body that starts a death process in our body. Now, you may have those things from years ago, and they may still be eating away at your body. Probably every one of us have them, because all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, if you could start a little child out and teach them these things and these principles from day one, and you could walk there yourself in the total, perfect God kind of love, you could probably raise children that could go through their entire life. If you could keep them in this book every day of their life. Now, you'd have to keep them in this book. You'd have to start out in the morning. You'd have to end in the evening with this book. Just like a lady called Phil. She was telling me today. And she said, what, this may be, I forget exactly the way he said it, something like, she said, this may be an off-the-wall question, but what do you think determines prosperity and success? He said, well, this may be an off-the-wall answer, but the Word of God says in Joshua 1:8, that if you want to be prosperous and successful, you must meditate on the Word of God day and night, and it must be in your mouth and in your heart day and night. Then your ways will be prosperous, and then you will have great success. Now, see, he answered that very good. He answered it from the Scripture. That's the only way you can answer those kind of questions. Any kind of question you give of your own personal opinion don't count. Only if you can back it up with the Word of God does it count. And that's why we need to hide the Word in our heart. Now, if you could start out children from day one in a family that's walking totally in obedience to God's Word, and you could start them out in the Scripture, read the Scripture to them in the morning, read the Scripture to them in the evening, and when you were with them, if you could keep them at home. Now, you could never send them to secular school and do this, because they would be tainted too many ways with the world. It would be impossible. But the devil would get them somehow, some way, because he would get them into places that we're going to talk about here a little later in 2 Timothy 2, where the devil can take them at his will. You know, if you don't walk in this God kind of love. Most people don't know it. I didn't know it. Nobody told me. I think, how many years did I live in a place that wasn't within God's perfect will? Most of my life. You know, you too, right, Ty? Well, none of us did. I mean, we had no clue that the Word of God was an owner's manual, and he's no respecter of person. It don't make any difference if it's Ty or Thurman. He holds us both accountable for this Word. Both of us. So when you get into sin, and of course, as we've learned these things, yesterday we were all setting up in the restaurant, a whole ministry team. We had a couple of our ladies had birthdays, so we took them all to dinner yesterday afternoon. There's about a dozen of us up there. We're sitting there around the table, right in the middle of the restaurant, you know, our table, and all of us are talking about Jesus. All of us are praying over our food. We created a real stir in the restaurant. Praise the King. Because the whole restaurant was hearing what we were saying, because we were talking loud enough for everybody to hear on both ends of the table. And so there was a lot of people that were closer to them than they were to the ones on the end, so you couldn't help but hear. Everybody knew what was going on. But we were talking about Jesus, and we were talking about sin, and how some of the young ladies were saying, you know, it's amazing how merciful God was to us. You know, how many sins we did in our life, and how fortunate we are now to still be alive. You know,
There's another one back there that said, praise God. Thank you, God, that you're merciful to me. Because we heard a testimony here a while back about a young man that he was a grown man, but he went to a bar and picked up a girl before he was going back over to the war, wherever he was, and went to bed with one woman and got AIDS. One time. Hey, somebody says, he's going to die. And somebody thinks, good grief. You know, some man, I heard a man the other day I was talking to, now a Christian guy, said he's been without a woman for about 5 or 6 or 7 years, but he says, I have slept with 1,000 different women in my life. And I said, you ain't dead? I said, you better get down on your knees and praise God. You know, I said, I'd hate to think today that I had that many soul ties hooked to me if I had been to bed with 50 different women in my life. And I think about the different men they'd been to bed with. I'd hate to think of the thousands of soul ties and the demons it would bring to me. And if I could say 1,000 and I ain't dead already and I'm already 40 years old, I'd be on my face praising God. That's what I'd be doing. What a testimony. What a testimony. I want a testimony like this. I ain't never slept with nobody but my wife. That's the kind of testimony I want. That's the kind of testimony I want. I don't want one to say, well, I slept with this one, that one, that one, that one, that one. I've been with all these girls. Forget it. That's not God's way. You know, but some people have had several mates in their life. And some of them have had all kinds of sickness and disease, but they're still alive. Some of them ain't had nothing. You know, if you hadn't had nothing, you're lucky. You're extremely blessed, I should say, because you could have run into the wrong one and you could have been dead. Because, I mean, I think about that beautiful girl that she went through high school, great Christian girl. I mean, she didn't date or nothing. She went off to college and met the quarterback on the football team, and he wanted to go with her, and she wouldn't. And finally, he did entice her, and he finally told her he loved her. He wanted to marry her and all that stuff. And they were going to get married, supposedly, and finally he talked her into having sex with him before they got married. And he had AIDS. And he didn't know it. She had one encounter, and then he jilted her, and in 1 year that little woman was dead. One encounter. And she was dead. One sin killed her. Isn't that awful? But I think how many I've seen that's done that. Or some of them have lived together for 4 or 5 years and then died. You know, I've seen that too. I've seen 20, 21, 22, 25-year-old young women living with a man outside of wedlock, you know, and you go tell them, no, I ain't. I mean, it's my body. I'll do what I want to. And then at 21, 22, they die. Just heart attack. Bam, just die. Just a coincidence, I know. God only made a promise. If you're my child, in 1 Corinthians 3 and 6, if you're my child, then I'm living in you, and you defile my temple with sexual immorality, and I will destroy that temple. Somebody says, God wouldn't do that to me. I've seen him do it over and over and over to people. Don't tell me he won't file the death sentence on you. He will. And if God files a death sentence on you, you better be prepared, because I'd hate to think where I might go if God filed a death sentence on me because of sin. You better hope you're going to get to go home to be with Jesus. You better hope. But only he knows. I don't know. You know, I can't say. But hadn't you much rather for him to let you live a long, good, healthy life, and then one day when you are translated out at an older age, he put his arm around you when you come home and say, well done, faithful servant. Is that what we want to hear, brother? That's what we want to hear. Glory to God. But we got to do what he says. Well, we go to chapter 2 after we think about what we read there in chapter 1. Paul's talking to Timothy here. He says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong. You know, he don't tell us nowhere to be weak. He tells us be strong in the Lord. How are you going to be strong in Jesus? I mean, how did all these years... I mean, I remember for the first 25 years, I was a Christian. I never led nobody to Jesus. I was just like that guy that called Ty tonight. How do I witness to somebody to bring them to Jesus? Well, I didn't know nothing about the Word. That's the problem. You don't know nothing about the Word. When the Word and you become one, it's easy to talk to people about Jesus. Why? Because you're strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. Because He's in you and the Word's in you. If the Word's in you, hey, you can talk to people about Jesus. I don't care who. I don't care if it's a 5-year-old, 6-year-old, or a 60 or 70 or 80-year-old. I can talk to anybody about my King. Anybody. On their level. It doesn't make any difference. Communicate with any of them. I don't care if you're a 5-year-old child or you got a PhD. I can talk to you about Jesus on your level because I got enough Word hidden in my heart. You know, I did. It can do it. And the things that thou heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now then, we need to find a lot of faithful people and we need to commit these wonderful things to them so you can take the Word of God and go out and start winning people to Jesus. That's what I'm trying to do right here in this little place. That's why I'm teaching people that will come here the Word of God. Like Sandra says, sometimes I'm a whiplash preacher. You know, she said, I'd say things, she'd get 2 miles down the road, and all of a sudden, man, you know, what? You know, it just hit her. You know, who do you think it was that was working on her? The Holy Ghost. You know, He's still taking the words that I'm speaking. He says, Sandra, you need to listen to what Thurman's teaching because it's my word he's teaching. He's telling you got sin in your life, girl. You need to straighten it up. You need to get your heart right. You got heart troubles. You need to get fixed. Well, see, Lord, I ain't got no heart trouble. I got a problem with my lip. I got cancer in my lip. I got cancer in my foot. I ain't got no heart troubles. Lord, I want to go down and have Him pray for me so I can go back and watch my soap operas on television. See, she's a normal woman, see? I mean, she wants to go do her thing. But God didn't want her doing her thing. God wanted her. That's who He wanted. He loved Sandra. And until she made that decision, Lord, I'm going to put You first. I'm going to study Your Word. I'm going to put You first. I'm not going to put my job first anymore. I'm going to put You first. I'm going to repent of all my hardness of heart, my bitterness and anger and all that stuff. And I'm going to get in Your Word and I'm going to seek You and I'm going to put You first. And when she made that commitment and that confession and started walking in it, bam, all of her sickness and disease went away. Cancer went away. The diabetes went away. She couldn't even wear shoes when she used to come to that big old booth with her feet sticking out, with her pus running out of her feet. And now then she can wear shoes and everything else. The healer showed up for her, Sharon. The healer showed, just like He did for you, girl. The healer showed up for Sandra. And ain't nobody any happier about that than Sandra. Glory to God. Praise the King. You got a question, brother? Let me get you a mic.
Sandra is also a great comedian. I never laughed so much.
Amen. Yeah, she's good. Jesus will use her, won't He?
Oh, He hit right tonight. I mean, He did. I laughed. He laughed, and we were laughing our heads off. Not at you, but it was the way you expressed it. It was great.
Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord.
She's got talent.
Amen. Praise the King. God's going to use that woman mightily. He's already using her mightily. He'll use this woman to pray the prayer of faith for people in a hospital because she works in a hospital. She's an RN. And when she prays for people, she now knows it's sin. She can talk to people and say, you need to get your sins confessed. You need to get your heart right. You got a statement to make? Just a second. Let me get you a mic. Praise the King.
Last Saturday, Sandra and I went to visit one of our other church members. And let me tell you, she got going, she got stomping, she kept clapping. I mean, I told her when we left there, I said, I got news for you. He's going to use you in a big way.
Amen.
She's already got a head start on him.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I know God's going to use her. I mean, when God heals you and sets you free and you receive such a blessing, I mean, If you, of course, we got pictures. Oh, you got something to say too, young lady? We got pictures. Ty's going to get them all put together. We got a whole bunch of pictures of what she looked like and her foot and everything.
okay, I have some people on my job, and this one lady, she come to me, she say, well, you know, you lay hands on people, you know, like that. I say, yes. I say, in Jesus' name, you know, like that. And then she say, well, her hand was kind of like crooked over and crooked, you know, she couldn't hardly use it. She said, well, here, heal me. I said, first you got to repent of your sin. She talking about, I ain't sin. I talking about, you judge. I said, well, I'm going to have to give you one of the thermal tapes and let you just listen to it. I said, because you in denial. Praise the Lord.
It's kind of tough. You know, just like we think about the apostles now. We think about the apostles. Jesus commissioned his apostles to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead. And they went out and did all those things because they come back and said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us. The dead are raised when we speak in your name. He said, I know. I commissioned you to do that. And just a little while later, a demon of epilepsy was brought to them. And the man said, well, heal my son. And this little demon began to throw this little boy around, flop him around, and they were kind of intimidated, and they couldn't do it. And so Jesus showed up in a little while, and when he did, he said, what's going on? The man said, sir, I brought my son to your disciples for them to heal him. And they could not. And Jesus said, you perverse and wicked bunch. How long am I going to have to put up with you? I'm telling you, he wasn't too happy with them. He says, bring the boy to me. Somebody, what? It's not God's will to heal this one. Yes. It's God's will for us all to be healed.
Amen.
Every time He wants us healed. Well, we got to get the problems fixed. When Sandra got her heart problem fixed, the devil, which had been taking her at his will, couldn't do it no more. Because Jesus told him to go away. She got her heart right. Now then, devil, you got to leave. And whenever the Lord tells the devil to leave, he has to leave. And so Sandra got healed. I mean, many of you known her. She'd been coming here for a while with that big old lip sticking out there, bleeding, and those feet sticking out of her, you know, and squishing whenever she walks. You know, I mean, it's funny now, but it wasn't funny then. We were doing everything to try to get her healed. We was trying to tell her everything we knew. We wanted to see this lovely lady healed. We didn't want to see her die, especially since she'd already been given a doctor's death sentence. You're going to die, girl. It's going to be over for you shortly. But it's not over. She's healed now. Praise God. No cancer. No, she's going to live a long time because she's going to do it the King's way now, not her way. So, and says the things that they have heard and the witnesses, same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, this is what we want to do. We want to commit this knowledge and wisdom to you so you can take this knowledge and you can go somewhere. Like this young lady said back here, this woman has got her hand like that. She now knows she's there because of sin. And everybody, if they see you say, well, the sick get healed when I pray for them, everybody comes to you and wants you to pray over them. I mean, I remember one time a woman out there at Sky Chef, she was all angry at God. And she said, you can get the sick healed. I said, yes, ma'am, I can pray for the sick. She said, my mother's sick. I said, did she go to church? She said, no. I said, well, that's her first sin. I said, is she a Christian? Well, yeah, we know Jesus. I said, well, then why aren't you obedient daughters instead of disobedient daughters? Well, you know, we don't have to go to church. I said, no, you don't have to. You can be sick all your life if you want to. And I said, you could die and go to hell too, you know, because of disobedience. Well, but we got saved, so we're going to heaven. I said, well, don't put too much faith in that. You know, I said, you may not really know the King, because the King says, if you really know me, you obey me. And obeying him means go to church. So, and she said, well, would you pray for my mother anyway? I said, sure, I will pray for your mother. And I said, the King will heal your mother, but then you need to make sure you and your mother both start going to church. And, of course, one of my leads was in the office that day when she came in talking to me. So I prayed the prayer of faith for her. I said, now your mother will get healed. Well, her mother did get healed. Wasn't long. She was completely healed and everything. And, of course, this lead knew about it. He knew them real well. And about 6 months later, they were talking one day, and she said something nasty about me. He said, what are you saying bad things about Thurman for? She said, well, my mother's sick again. He said, But best I know, you and your mother, after God healed your mother after Thurman prayed for, y'all never did go to church. That's been about 6 months, hadn't it? Well, yeah, but we just hadn't had time. He said, well, how much time do you think God's going to give you? I mean, Thurman prayed and God healed your mother. That ought to have been a direct communication to you to know that he's connected with God. And now he told you to go to church. That's why you're sick in the first place. And you didn't obey. So now your mother's sick again. So he said, hey, looks to me like it's quite simple. He told you what to do. He prayed. Your mother got healed. You didn't do what he said. So she's sick again. Now see, isn't that amazing? You know what we want to do? We want to do it just like Sandra said here a while ago. I wanted to come over here and have Thurman or Ty touch me and I get healed. Then I go do my own life like I did before. You know, I ain't got time for God. I'm a working woman. You know, but now then she's found out when she gets time for God, she's got more time to work and healthy and everything else. You know, all you got to do is do it God's way. If that's the way, Sandra, that's all you got to do is do it God's way. Wow. And see, we're trying to teach these things to other people. We want everybody to know this. I got a letter this last week from a healing ministry. And the guy said, I've been in a healing ministry since 1970. But he said, somebody gave me some of your teachings a while back. I started listening to them. He said, I gleaned two extremely important, powerful things from your teaching. Number one, you got to repent of your sin before you pray for healing. Number two, you always find a scripture that'll guarantee God will heal them, and then you guarantee them God's word never fails. And he said, I started doing that months ago, and he said, my healing ministry that God's given me has exploded. And he said, never have I had such success as I've had since I listened to your teaching and learned those two things. Sin is what are making them sick. So when you get them to repent, and then you find a scripture that God said, did he say he watched over your word to perform it? He watches over whose word? Oh, and he sent his word to heal you, right? So you got to do everything based around him. This whole thing's about the king, not about you and me. So when you do everything based around his word, he does great and wonderful things. And I thought, wow, there's a healing ministry that's been in business since 1970. And in the last couple of years, he learned those two little things that God taught me. And, of course, the final thing on there, he said, I want to praise God for your commitment to God to get in his word and spend enough time with him that he would reveal these things to you so I could learn them from you. Well, hey, that's what it's all about, isn't it? That's what it's all about. So if God taught them to me, then I can teach them to somebody else. Then the rest of you can be these people we're talking about right here. As I teach them to you, you can teach them to others. God doesn't have this thing locked up somewhere. He wants it out in the open. He wants you to know. He came 2,000 years ago and he sent a forerunner, John the Baptist, and he had one message. Repent. Repent. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Repent. That was John's only message. How would you like to be a preacher? And that's the only message you get to preach. Repent. You sinners, repent. It cost him his head too, didn't it, Ty? He walked up to a king, don't they? Said, repent, what you're doing is wrong. The guy killed him. Cut his head off. But his wife didn't like it. Oh, man. Isn't that amazing? You're confronted with sin. People don't like to be confronted with sin. You got a sin? Just like that Baptist preacher the other day on that airplane. He said, you mean to tell me you think that every time we're sick there's some sin involved in our life? I said, absolutely. There's no two ways about it. He said, I kind of have a runny nose and a stopped up head. Are you telling you I got sin? I said, absolutely. There ain't no two ways about it. And it made me unbelief. But you got one. And unbelief's a pretty big one with God. You know it? You know? So it's amazing. Yes, we all sin. We fall far short of the glory of God. You know, we're not supposed to, and I know that too. And I also teach that. But I know how hard it is to walk in that. But, you know, I am trying harder every day because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt with what we're learning, just like one of Ty's favorite scriptures is in Luke 6:40.
I know that when I become perfectly trained as my master, then I will be able to do the same things as our master. And I want to be able to get there. And I know he's no respecter of persons. If I can't master all those things he told me to do, then I'll never walk in that supernatural anointing. But if I can get there, and the closer I can get there to that, the greater will become the anointing. Now, I want to praise his holy name for the anointing he's allowed me to walk in so far. I am so grateful to the King for all the mighty things he's done, because he's changed a lot of people's lives because of where he's allowed me to walk. The miracles I've walked in, the things I've done, it's built lots of people's faith and changed lots of people's lives. But that's what God wants to do. But he wants to use every one of us to change somebody else's life. He wants you to be a picture of him to everybody you come in contact with, at work, wherever it is. He wants you to be that holy person that'll glorify him. You know, you can't tell jokes with the guys or the gals at the water fountain. You can't use the bad words that so many people do and then expect to walk around the corner with somebody privately and say, let me pray for you, and maybe Jesus will do something for you. No, you've got to be holy all the time. You've got to walk in obedience to his word 24/7. You've got to watch your words. Just like that guy said today, you guys must be doing pretty good. I hadn't heard any profanity at all over here. I said, we don't do that, sir. We praise Jesus over here. That, if you're going to be around very long, you're going to hear me say, praise the Lord. Anytime I do something, I'm always saying, and Dave too, praise the Lord. Or I'll be walking, I say, praise the Lord. Dave closes his hand up and says, praise God. Isn't it amazing? I love working around good Christian guys, you know. I love to be known as the guy that come down here and tried to convert my whole heathen bunch to Christians. I love to be known as that kind of guy. That's what was said about us. Now we go on here, we're going to see, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, are you a soldier? You're supposed to be. We don't see ourselves as soldiers, a lot of us. We think we're hooked up to a social club. We're going to church on Sunday. It's a social club. We put on our nicest. We expect everybody to be nice to us. And we don't expect to encounter any persecution or hardship during the week. Well, if you're not encountering hardship and persecution from somebody during the week, you need to examine your life, because you're probably not doing much for Jesus. That's the problem. You start doing something for Jesus, you're going to suffer. Somebody's going to come against you, believe me. And it says, no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life. Uh-oh, click, ching, stop, you know, return to go. Wait a minute, what's he saying here? No man, no woman that warreth or is a good soldier entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Oh, there's numbers. How many of us get involved with the affairs of this life? I mean, one of the affairs of this life we really get hung up on, you've got these special TV shows every night that you've got to watch, 2 or 3 or 4 hours. You're entangled with the things of this world. Or you got certain things you've got to go to on Sunday. Or you got things you got to go to on Tuesday night or Wednesday night. You got to take the children because they got to go play ball or whatever. You got to go everywhere and do everything. You're entangled with the things of this life far more than with the study of God's Word. Is that easy to do? Sure. It's real easy. I mean, how many people do you know? How many churches do you know in the Metroplex that on Super Bowl Sunday, if it's held in Dallas, or if it's held in Florida, or wherever it is, they send airplane loads of people by the thousands that pay thousands of dollars for a seat to watch 3 or 4 hours, maybe outside in the cold, or who knows where it is, a bunch of guys run up down the field over a crazy little skin ball out there. even risk their lives and get broke up over that little ball. Now, you talk about guys getting excited, like this girl the other day was talking to. She said, well, my husband's a little bit tied up in sports. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, from the time football season starts until it's over, if I died, he wouldn't miss me till football season was over. I think that's a little too much entangled in the things of the world, don't you? Just a little. But that's how entangled some of us are. You know, now then, if you want to watch a football game once in a while, that's okay. Just don't let it get in the way of what you do for God. You know, don't let it get in there. If the Cowboys play at 11 o'clock on Sunday or 12 o'clock, you know, if you go to a 9 o'clock church service, you know, don't cut the last part of the service out or don't leave halfway because you know you got to be home to see the kickoff at 11. If you do, you're putting God first. I mean, you're not putting God first. Excuse me, you're not putting God first. You're putting that football game first. And God don't like for you to put anything in front of Him. Now, if you're not going to be a warrior, then no big deal. You know, you're just not one of His anyway. You won't get any rewards. How would you like to go home one day and be like Howard Pittman that we sat down and talked with the other Friday for hours when he died as a Baptist preacher in 1979 and walked up to the gates of heaven? God told him, Howard, you can come in, but you ain't going to get a single reward because you didn't do nothing for me on earth. How would you like to have that thrown in your face as a Baptist preacher that had preached on the streets when you told God, God, I've been a preacher for you. I preached on the streets. God says, I know what you did, and you didn't do nothing for me. You did it all for yourself. You can come in, but you ain't going to get one single reward. We talked to that guy for hours. God sent him back, and he's still alive today. But let me tell you, he said before, as a Southern Baptist preacher, I didn't believe God done miracles. Because they didn't teach me in the seminary, did. But he said, after that little encounter with God, I believe he can do anything. Whatever he said in the book, I believe it. Now he said, I've changed my mind. I thought, wow, what an experience he had with the Lord. That was something we all got to do. We all got to see Him and hear Him. Praise the Lord.
When you were talking earlier about convicting of sin, I'm back there working a little bit, and my shoulder is just killing me. And I thought, oh, yes, thank you, Jesus. I do know what I sinned, and I confess my sin, and my shoulder's perfect.
Oh, wow. How about that? Thank you, Lord. Wow. Oh. Okay, this minute, is it turned on?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, it's on.
Real kingdom secret here. She listened. When in Job and in Acts 1:8. When everything's bad, when the sun's turned red or dark and the moon's turned red, it looks like life's over, you're not going to have a chance. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. Now go back to Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. It shall come to pass. Whoever hears the voice of the Lord and obeys His word, my blessing shall come upon you and overtake you because you hear my voice.
Amen.
So the secret, just like with Sandra, just like with Rosemary, she knows the word. But when she listened to the Holy Spirit, that's when she knew what she needed to do. So now in Acts 1:8, it shall come to pass. If you'll tarry here in Jerusalem and ask for the Lord, He says, I will anoint you with my Holy Spirit, and you shall receive power to be witnesses to me throughout the world. It says in John 10:27 and John 10:5, my sheep shall hear my voice. My little girl over here, she'll hear my voice.
Amen, yeah. Young girl.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Praise the King.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Rosemary, for listening. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the King. Glory. Hey, got it. Don't turn it off. Don't turn it to somebody else. Got another question. Yes, sir.
the one thing that's been on my concern, my heart, and that is, now I'm convinced now that, yes, we're sick. Anytime we're sick from sin, I go with that 100% because the Word has shown me that through your teaching the last two times we've met. But the big thing in my mind is, in this room with all these people here, all of us are sitting here thinking, well, how will I know what sin it is that I want to be able to be rid of in order not to get sick? How can I identify it? How can I know what I can change in order not to have that sickness to be able to go out and do the things we're talking about? So, to me, there's a myriad of sins that I can't even think about right now. So if I have a sickness or an illness in my body, which I have had lately, and thank and bless God, they're gone. But what I want to know is the next time I or anybody else in here has something, how can they identify it?
I can tell you that.
All right.
I have that answer. First of all, you need to really be led by the Spirit. The Spirit of the living God. You need to get up every morning and ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit. Every morning when you wake up, you need the infilling power as a son or a daughter of God with the infilling power of the Holy Spirit. I can guarantee you every time you start to commit a sin that's going to bring forth any kind of sickness or disease or anything, the Spirit will prompt you. He will tell you. And you've got to be listening now. You've got to be listening. Sometimes it's very hard to hear Him when you want to be in control. But He will talk to you. And then, just like Sandra, when she went home, and as she'd go home asking the Lord, she, like you said, that preacher down there, God, telling me I got sin. And, of course, when she petitioned God, God told her, He's right. You have sin. Well, then she wanted to know what it was. And so God told her. And that's how, I mean, just like she said a while ago, we all know, I mean, the sins of adultery and, you know, and lying and all that. We know all the normal sins, you know, but she wasn't doing none of them. You know, but she had, like she said, she had this heart problem. She had this anger, had this rage, had all these things. You know, I want to cover one more thing right quick. We're going to skip a whole bunch, but I'm going to cover something that I definitely don't want to miss. That we're going to finish up on this in verse 20 to the end of the chapter. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Now, we live in a great house, the house of the Lord. Now, we know the Scripture says there's going to be vessels unto honor and some to dishonor. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be one of those vessels to dishonor. Do you? No. Not at all. But He says there are going to be those. Here a while back I done a word study all through the Bible, all the places the word if was used. I'm telling you, it's awesome. I spent hours reading the things God said if, and it blew me away when I found out all the things that was left up to me. Just like here, if a man therefore purge himself from these. Who's going to purge you from these? You are, not God. Somebody come and say, oh God, would you please take all the sin out of me and keep me from sinning anymore? He's going to tell you, nope. I give you the power not to sin. Now you stop sinning. That's just like when a man comes up, and I've had many people do this to me. Thurman, would you ask God to help me tithe? I've got to where I just say, no. He's already told you in His Word to tithe. Just do it. You know, I ain't use me praying for you. You're going to just have to take the bull by the horns and do what He says. If He says, if a man therefore purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Now, the bad things He's talking about up there, if you purge yourself from all sin, you will be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and fit for the Master's use and prepared unto every good work. So when the king needs somebody to go out, he says, Keith, I got a pure, holy young man right here. I got a job for you. I want you to do this. Now, he ain't going to do that for you unless you purge yourself. You got to stay clean. You got to stay in the Word. You got to keep yourself purged and clean. So whenever you're in a given place, wherever you are, and the time arises, and God needs to use you to tell somebody or to do a magnificent miracle, He ain't going to call the guy or the girl that's living in sin to do something for him. He ain't going to do that, chances are. He's going to call the one that has purged himself from all sin. He's going to let you be the one He's going to use for His glory. You're going to be the one in the workplace that's going to walk up and pray for someone when you don't have to get them to confess their sin. Like I did for that little Spanish woman that night out there that got her arm burned so bad in that big old oven, blistered the bottom of it, burned all the skin off of her arm. I mean, that poor little woman was screaming. I ain't got time to find out that woman's got any sin. I know she's got sin. She probably don't even know Jesus. But I know that the King wants to heal her, and I know He's a merciful God. And so I run up and grab her by the arm, and I confess the word over her. Quote Isaiah 53:4, that He bore her pain. And then I lay hands on her, and I say, and Jesus, the King, said I could lay hands on you and He'd heal you, but I don't know how long He'll take. But Mark 11:23, the King says, whatever I say with this mouth, I believe with this heart, He'll do it. So I said, in the name of Jesus, woman, you'll get a supernatural healing from the King, and His name is Jesus. I said, Lord, thank You. And her pain instantly left, and she wouldn't even go to the doctor. But all evening she worked and served the evening meal. Everybody saw that big burn all up and down on her arm. Even her husband got to see it when she got home that night. But the next morning when she woke up, little Adelina, that little Spanish woman, didn't have a mark or a burn on her body the next morning. Now, why do you think God chose me? Because I had spent the time. I'd been in His Word. I was that day, I was that vessel of honor that got to glorify Him. Everybody knew I didn't heal her. I mean, the next day when she come back to work and little Melanie looked up and she saw her and this little cook and she said, Adelina, how's your arm? And she held it up and she just throwed her arms up and screamed and said, another answer to Thurman's prayer. They knew who done it. They knew it was God. If you make yourself that vessel of honor, when a need arises, the King will use you for His glory. I love to be one of those children to get to be used of the King for His glory. Something like that. Don't you? Hey, if there's anybody there that didn't know that Jesus lived after that awesome miracle, oh, I know her arm healed so fast because it was cool that night. I know. It wasn't nothing spectacular for all that burned skin to be healed overnight. Ain't nobody going to believe that nonsense, but some do. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? You see a miracle like that. But, you know, after all, they saw Lazarus raised from the dead after being dead 4 days. Some believe and some want to figure a way to kill him and Jesus both. That's pretty awesome too, isn't it? Yeah. So, you know, get used to it. You know, some's going to laugh at you, but some's going to praise God for you. So if you're a warrior and you're out here warring, just get ready. You're going to be persecuted. If you're not persecuted, you ain't doing nothing for Jesus. Oh, you got a testimony? You got something? Let me get the mic right quick and get it back there.
A few years back, I was in a lot of fasting and prayer before the Lord. I was in His Word, and I was asking Him about what it meant to receive Your glorified being. And what keeps coming to my mind as You're teaching us everything is He was speaking to me about the Scriptures where it says, if You love Me and obey My commandments, not only will You do the things that I have done, but greater things than these shall You do. And the other thing that came to my mind was Colossians 1:27, where He's talking about the mystery and the riches of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And one night I sat up straight in my bed and I heard Him say so clearly, when I was here, I was one man, full of fullness of the Godhead in me. But now I am here and I am in many. So Thurman, when I look at you, there's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And when I look at you, there is Christ in you, the hope of glory. When I look at everyone here, I'm seeing Christ in us, the hope of glory. And now it's not just an individual. Now it's a corporate anointing.
Amen. Amen.
And so this earth, it doesn't matter how much darkness is here. The light that is radiating through all of us will overcome that darkness, and things are going to change.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, it is. All those scriptures. Amen. I know all those scriptures, and she's exactly right. Now let's go on here. We're getting close to the end. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and fit for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust. He tells you, I mean, whatever the lust are, I mean, it's people that get old that lust for a more bigger, powerful, expensive home or a nicer carpet. I mean, they lust for all kinds. Don't have to be youthful to have lust. I mean, you can lust for things. I don't care who you are, how old you are. You can lust for things. Don't lust for those things. You know, if God provides them for you, that's okay. But don't lust for these things. You know, it's not a problem to have nice things. But don't lust for them. You know, it says, flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, love, peace, and with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now, these are the requirements. These are where we're supposed to walk. This is all written right here. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid. Now listen to what he's saying carefully. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. Okay, now we're getting involved in questions we don't understand. We're saying things about the Word that we're trying to enlighten somebody about the Word when we don't know what we're talking about ourselves. Now, how many times do you run into people at work or whatever that starts doing that with you? Oh, well, you know, I mean, boy, this is one they used to really throw in my face when I'd say something about sin. They said, well, judge not lest you be judged. They don't have a clue what that means. They've heard that, but they don't know what it means, see? But see, I know what it means, and Paul tells me, if I'm talking to a brother and I see them sinning, I am to judge them. I am to tell them of their sin. And the Lord says, if they will repent of their sin and turn from their wicked ways, I will have saved a brother from death. That's what the Scripture says. He said, if they don't repent, they're going to die. So if I see a brother sinning, I got to tell him the truth. But you know, the people that don't know, you try to start judging someone. Now, if I walk up to a lost sinner and I know a guy that's living in sin, I mean, say he's living with a girl down the street or whatever, and I go talk to him, I say, you're a Christian? You go to church? Nah, I don't know Jesus. Well, I ain't going to say, well, you heathen, you're going to hell because you're living with a girl down the street. No, you don't say that. God tells me not to judge that because he's lost. I mean, he's just satisfying the flesh, you know, and she is too. I am not to judge that. I am just to talk to him about the love of Jesus, how much Jesus loves him. That's where I'm not supposed to judge. But if I woke up and say, hey, do you go to church? Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. You really know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You really know him? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You really believe Jesus is your King? Yeah. Well, now, wait a minute. There's something wrong here. I see you going in and out of that door down there where that girl lives. I see you there all night. Your car's parked up. Well, yeah, we're living together. What's the big deal? Let me show you what the Word says about that. You're not supposed to be doing that. That's where we're supposed to judge. Where we're supposed to do that, like Ty said, in love. We got to do that in love. But, you know, but you've got to tell them the truth. If you don't, that sin will bring death to both that boy and that girl. You know, and that's what we don't understand. But the sin brings forth death, and that's sin. So you got to judge them. And they can't be used for the master as a vessel of honor. They're a vessel to dishonor. And I don't want to be a vessel to dishonor at all. But he says here, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid. And verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. And and apt to teach and be patient. Now, these are the requirements. You see anything in there where some of us, or maybe all of us, are lacking a little bit? Yeah. Well, we need to make some changes, don't we? We need to learn to be patient. You know, that's just like the hardest job I've done lately, putting in 3 fuel cells in them wings. But I'm telling you, I have been patient and gentle, and I've prayed a whole lot over them things. I'll tell you, that has definitely been a chore. I don't want to do that again anytime soon. I am nearly through with that thing, but I don't want to do the other wing anytime soon, I'll tell you for sure. But if I do have to, I know how now. But I'll tell you, when you praise the Lord, that's why that one guy was coming by and said, hey, I ain't heard no loud cussing over here. It must be going okay. Because a lot of guys that would do this, they would definitely be fussing and cussing. I'll tell you for sure. It is something else. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. We must not strive. But we must be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Now, what does that mean? You must, in meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves. If you're a Christian and you're sinning, you're opposing yourself. You're killing yourself. Do you want to kill yourself? No. But that's why we got in meekness. We have to talk to these people about this. If God, look what he says, if God, after we talk to them, if God peradventure will give them repentance, that's what we want them to do, repent to the acknowledging of the truth. No, we want them to repent and turn from their wicked ways and come back to the truth of the Word of God. Why do we want them to do this? Because here's the answer. That they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So what happens if you're living in some kind of sin? The devil says, oh, there's old Keith over there. He's lying a little bit to the guys on the job today. I ain't got nothing to do. I believe I'll send a couple of demons over to knock his socks off today. Go get him, boy. At the devil's will. Go get him. See? Or he gets all angry and upset today. He's all in strife and fussing the guys and everything. And the Lord says, his children are not to be in strife. You're to be patient and kind and gentle with these guys. And so the devil says, oh, okay, I got lots of things to do. I won't mess with him today. But about a week later, he says, well, I'm pretty well caught up. He said, now, boys, go over there and get Keith. He's still living in strife. You see, he still fusses. Go get him. He takes you at his will. But he can't do that if you're walking in obedience to God's Word, can he? That makes you want to walk in obedience to God's Word, right, Keith? You don't want to open the door to the devil. Isn't that amazing what's in this book and how clear it is? Do you want to be open game to the devil? All you got to do is start getting into strife. Anger, rage, hatred have as Sandra says, a bad heart. And the devil can just take you captive at his will. So he just comes over and puts diabetes on her and her feet. She can't even wear shoes and big old boots and those toes are swelled out there and gushing when she walks with the blood. Y'all, some of y'all saw her, didn't you? And it's that big old cancer was all over her lip. You know? God says, Sandra, you get rid of the strife and the anger. You get your heart fixed. And then the devil won't be able to take you at his will. I will heal you. When she got her heart fixed, God kicked. He said, okay, devil, now you can leave her alone. You ain't got no legal right to my daughter no more. You can go away. I've got through to her. She's going to put me first now. The king's in control. You only got to please one, right, brother? The king. The king's in control. He's the one that has the say-so. He's the one that turns the devil loose on you, or he's the one that tells the devil to get lost. All you got to do is please God. You please God, put him first, I mean, and then you learn to speak to the enemy. But here's the thing we've missed. After you have sinned and the devil comes upon you, a lot of times when you repent, he just don't easily go away. Sometimes God leaves it up to you to take his word and drive him away. That's another test he'll give you to find out, do you really believe his word? Do you believe his word? Yes, I believe his word. Then he says, just like one of Ty's friends, this has happened to me a few times, happened to one of Ty's friends. We was down at dinner the other night, and he said he came down with cancer. These big knots come up under his arm and everything else. And he said he kept praying and asking God, God, take these things away. One day the Lord spoke to him and told him, said, how long are you going to let those things stay on your body? What do you mean, Lord? I mean, how long am I going to let them stay on my body? He said, I gave you power over them. In other words, you repent of your sins, I give you power. You take my name and you drive them out. He said, I lifted up my arms, looked in the mirror, and I cursed them things in the name of Jesus. He's got a revelation from God right now. He rebukes the death cancer. He rebukes them things, commands them to leave in the name of Jesus. He said, the next morning I go look at them, they're just as bad as they ever been, maybe a little bigger. But he said, I don't doubt God's word. I heard from God, he said, and I continue to praise him and worship him. You guys are out of here. This cancer is gone. He said it took about 2 weeks. They were gone, and he ain't never had it back again ever in his life. See? Praise the King. Pays good dividends to do it God's way, doesn't it, Sandra? Oh, I mean to tell you. He heard his voice. I've heard his voice many times about this. That's how I know so many things about God's word. I'm a little bit dense in some areas. But you know, when you hear from God, man, he has a way to get through to you that you can understand when you couldn't have understood it. You could have read it 500 times and never got it. You know, it's just like one day, one of the miracles that I was seeing, and I had a car that a fuel pump quit on me years ago when God was first teaching me these things. And I couldn't grasp the Word of God meant what it said. Here I am in Granbury, Texas on Friday night at 9 o'clock, and my fuel pump quits on my car, and I get out and take the gas on off, we turn the starter over, no gas comes out, and I make a statement, shucks, here I am in Granbury, Texas on Friday night at 9 o'clock in a foreign car, they ain't a fuel pump within 100 miles here for this thing. I'm dead in the water. What am I going to do, Lord? And I didn't realize he's sitting right there listening. He said, son, I heard his voice. He said, son, did I not say in my word, ask anything in my name and I will do it for you? I said, yes, Lord. He said, well. I said, okay, Father, in the name of Jesus, you pump enough gas for this car to run 50 miles an hour till I get my wife and children home, and tomorrow I'll put a fuel pump on. I said, thank you, Lord. I put that gas line in, put the air cleaner on, called Mom and said, Mom, we're going to be a little late. We're going to be there. Hung up the phone. Put the tools up, got in the car, and my wife, Betty, at that time, she said, what are we going to do? I said, we go in the house. She said, I thought you said the fuel pump don't work. I said, it don't. And I restored it, that started, and it started the first time. And we drove that car 2 hours, 50 miles an hour. He taught me two lessons. Ask anything. I asked for enough gas to run 50 miles an hour. I don't know why I did such a dumb thing. See, then it was 55. But those words was out of his mouth because he was going to teach me two lessons. First, he's going to let me know his word did work. I said, give me enough gas to run 50, and it would run 50, not a mile over. And another thing, it taught me that I got exactly what I asked for with this mouth. It taught me two great principles. I drove that car for 2 hours, never missed a lick, and with a broken fuel pump. And it runs 50 miles an hour, uphill, downhill, round corners. Idle perfect. But I got home, and the next morning, it wouldn't fire a lick. Not a lick. Wouldn't run a lick once I shut it off in front of the house. But God's taught me right there, if I could ask anything in his name in faith, when I said, well, yes, Lord, you said that. He said, well, so well, what are you going to do about it? Ask anything in my name. Well, so what do we do? We go off crying, oh, woe is me, what's happened? I can't do this. I can only see God saying, oh, my children, they just don't believe my word. Do we?
I had a computer problem, and I asked God to help me with it, and he gave me a dream.
Wait a minute. Listen, you got to tell this. We got to hear this on the tape. Start over.
I had a computer problem. I did payroll, and I could not get this formula to work right. Nobody could help me. I said, God, I have 2 days, I have to turn the payroll in. I said, would you please help me? that night I had a dream. The next day I went to work, did exactly what he told me to. It worked every time after that.
Perfect. Praise the King. Glory to God. Ask and you shall receive. Praise the King. Isn't it wonderful to know you got a God that will do those kind of things for you? Wow. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for the beautiful things you do for your people and all these wonderful testimonies we've had tonight. Lord, we give you praise and glory and honor and thanksgiving. May this word as it goes out bless many others, Lord, as they hear this tape. May they all be blessed in the precious name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.